The question today is, when exposed to truth, why do people run? Well, there's many areas in which we could deal with. We'll deal with some of them. We know that one of the reasons that people run when exposed to truth is they'd rather follow tradition. Jesus spoke to a group of Pharisees in Mark chapter 7, verse number 5, and of course he was dealing with the problem of the Pharisees following tradition, and tradition really came up in the time between Malachi and Matthew, whenever people put things that were passed on by word of mouth. They were passed from generation to generation, and they really took precedence over the Word of God. But this is what Mark 7, 5 says. Then the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, meaning Jesus, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites." Jesus didn't leave anything to wonder. He called them what they were. And then he says, "As it is written, this bunch, or this people, honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things ye do." And verse 9 says, "He said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition." And that's exactly why, when people's exposed to truth today, many of them run, because they want to follow tradition instead of following the Word of God. And as a result, they reject the commandment of God. They reject the truth of God. Colossians 2:8 gives us a warning about that. As he said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." The word spoil means to capture. And that's exactly what's happened today in many of our Baptist churches. People are spoiled by tradition. They've been captured by tradition, and they'd rather follow tradition. And whenever truth is preached and it comes forth pointed with power from the Lord, then they want to run from it because they'd rather follow their tradition. And they say such things as, "We've always done it this way. If it's good enough for my mother, it's good enough for me." Well, that's okay if mother was right, but what if she was wrong? I heard a story at one time, whether so or not, I don't know, but it's passed down from generation to generation. Maybe tradition, but still. Said one time a woman cut her ham a certain way to cook it. She cut it an unusual way, and somebody saw her. And she asked the lady, said, "Why did you cut that ham the way you did to cook it?" She said, "I really don't know, but my mother did it that way." And they went back to her mother and asked her mother, said, "Why did you cut your ham a certain way to cook it?" She said, "Well, I really don't know, but my mother did it that way, and I've always done it that way." Went back to her mother, and which was grandmother, of course, and said, "Why did you cut that ham a certain way to cook it?" And she said, "Well, I really don't know, except that's the way my mother did it." So they went back to her mother, which would be great-grandmother, and said, "How come you cut that ham a certain way when you cooked it?" And she said, "Well, I really don't know, but that's the way my mother did it." Well, great-great-great-grandmother was still alive. They went back to her and said, "Why did you cut the ham a certain way to cook it?" And she said, "Because it wouldn't fit in my pan." Well, they'd for five generations had followed the way that their great-great-grandmother, in essence, had cut the ham, and yet they didn't know why they did it that way. They just followed tradition. Well, you realize something. If mama's not right in truth, as far as truth is concerned, it'd be better not to follow mama in that. I remember one time talking to a lady that was really my secretary when I was in business years ago, and I began to try to tell her some truth that I knew at the time, even though I was lost at the time, didn't know much. I still had a little more understanding than some had. God had given it to me, and I'm thankful for that. But I tried to witness to this lady, and she was of another faith, another denomination. She believed you had to be baptized to be saved, and when I tried to share with her the truth of God's Word of what it means to be saved, she basically told me one day that, I said, "I'll get my Bible and I'll show you a thing or two." She accused me of having a Baptist Bible. Well, folks, it's not a Baptist Bible. It's the Word of God. That's what we need to follow. But at any rate, one day I said, "I'm going to go talk to her one more time, and that's going to be the last time I'll talk to her." And I went in and talked to her there in the office, and the first thing she told me, before I ever really said anything, and she said, "I'll have you know, my mother was a good woman." I hadn't said anything about her mother. Neither had she to that time. But she had got to thinking some of the things I'd showed her. If what I'd showed her was true, her mother was in hell. And she couldn't handle that. She couldn't face the possibility that she was in hell. Therefore, she rejected the truth of God's Word. She'd rather go to hell herself. In other words, than face the possibility that mother was wrong. Folks, I want to tell you, it's good enough. It's not good enough for you if it wasn't good enough for, even if you use that phrase, it's good enough for mother, it's good enough for me. That's okay if mother was right. But if mother or daddy, we could put daddy in the same situation, followed tradition instead of truth, then it's not good enough for them, and it's sure not good enough for you. And so, therefore, there's some listening today may be in that very same condition. You're what you are because your mother or your daddy was that. And then when truth comes along, you want to run from it because you'd rather follow tradition than you have had truth. Let me tell you something. It matters not where your mother or dad might be today, whether they're in heaven or whether they're in hell. I know you don't always know. But the thing about it is, if they could cry out to you today, they would tell you, don't follow tradition. Follow truth. Hear the truth. Respond to truth. Continue in truth. Don't run from the truth. Don't reject truth. But why, when exposed to truth, why do people run? Many people run because they'd rather follow tradition than they had truth. I'll tell you another reason they try to run, and they run instead of embrace the truth, is peer pressure. You see, our nature is to want to go with the winner. We want to go with the majority, if you please. That's what somebody said, well, the majority rules. Well, you look in the Bible, you'll find that the minority is what's really the ones that's basically right as far as the truth of the word, God's Word is concerned. The Bible said, few there be that find the narrow way that leads to the straight gate. And then many of them not going to even enter, Luke 13:24 states. And so as a result, there's just few of the few going to get in. So the minority is the ones that's right in that sense. Most people, the peer pressure's there. Our nature wants to go with the majority, wants to go with the winner. For instance, Elijah on Mount Carmel. There he was after 3.5 years, it hadn't rained. He said, it won't rain according to my word. He told King Ahab, Jezebel, and all the other Israelites, of course, at that time. And as a result, he come to time, it was to have a showdown at Mount Carmel. And there he was going, he said, get the prophets of Baal, the prophets of Grove, which was 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the Grove, and get them together. And said, we'll have a contest to see who's God's God. In other words, we'll build an altar, we'll erect an altar, and we'll put a sacrifice on it. And whichever one rains down fire from heaven and consumes the sacrifice, then we'll say that's God. Well, he got together, and of course there was 450 prophets of Baal thought that was enough to make a contest with one prophet of God, Elijah. But Elijah made this statement in verse number 8, chapter 18 of King, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. They wouldn't speak up. Who's God? They wouldn't do it. Why? They were so afraid that they were going to be on the losing side. They wanted to go with the majority. They wanted to go with the one who's the winner. Well, you realize something. It looked like Baal was the winner. I mean, after all, he's 450 prophets of Baal. Only one prophet of God. But God is always a majority. In fact, he's already won. You just get with him and you're on the winning side. He's already won. So don't let peer pressure influence you to reject truth. Well, what happened that day, of course, whenever the altar was built, the 450 prophets of Baal, they tried to cut themselves. They done everything they could to try to get their gods with a little G to answer. And, of course, there was no answer. And then when it come time, Elijah constructed the altar, erected the altar again like God said, put 12 stones around it representing the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 barrels of water, one for each tribe. He poured up on it. On that, and then when he prayed a short prayer, God sent down fire from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, consumed the water, and consumed the rocks that was around it. And it showed that God was God. And then the people spoke up and said, hey, we want to go with God. You see, they had to wait until they found out who was on the winning side so they would know what to go with. Listen, we don't need to know who's on the winning side as far as numbers concerned. Numbers will get you in trouble, but many people reject truth and run when exposed to truth because they have the peer pressure. They want to go with the winner. They want to go with the majority. Well, you know, we may be in the minority now, but we'll be in the majority out yonder. The Bible said in Luke chapter 13, verse 32, "Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So we're in the minority, it seems, but the minority is the ones on the winning side in this case. Don't let peer pressure influence you go against truth, reject truth. I think about those at Kadesh Barnea. The children of Israel were there. And when it's time to go into the land of Canaan, which flowed with milk and honey, and that simply meant that there was a land of plenty. It was a land that was prosperous. And so they got up a committee, and one from each tribe went in to spy out the land. And they came back with a report. In fact, they had the fruit of the land. They had the grapes on the staff between two, a bunch of grapes so big that took two to pack them. And they also brought back pomegranates and the fruit of the land. 10 of them said, "The fruit's right. It is a land that flows with milk and honey." But, they said, and you got to watch the buds, "but there's giants in the land, and we'll be like grasshoppers in their sight. We're not ready to go into the land. We don't want to go into the land." So 10 of them said, "We don't want to," but Joshua and Caleb, the minority, said, "We can do it. We own God's side. We can do what God wants us to do. We can go into the land." And so as a result, what happened after the people had come to the place, they'd looked at who's the winner. And after all, 10 people said it can't be done. So the majority won. And the people said, "Would to God we died in the wilderness, or would to God we died in the land of Egypt. We don't want to go in there and be destroyed by those giants in the land of Canaan." But God's will was for them to go in the land of Canaan. The truth was to do what God said, and they run from it. And as a result, God gave them what they wanted, but they lost what they could have had. You see, because they went with the majority, because of peer pressure, because of the influence of the 10 spies that came back and said, "We can't do it," they went with a majority. And as a result, they all died 20-year-old and up in the wilderness, just like they asked to. And as a result, they didn't get to enter in. They never even saw the land of promise. And then, of course, the minority, who was Joshua and Caleb at that time, who said it could be done, they wound up inheriting. They were the ones who inherited in the land. So don't let tradition, don't let peer pressure pull you away from truth. Many, when exposed to truth, want to follow tradition, and many go that route because they just always done it this way. We don't want to change. We don't want to do it the way God said. And folks, many times when truth is preached, what happens is people say, "Oh, that's a new doctrine," because they've been following tradition so long. We've always done it this way, and yet they call it a new doctrine. And that's what they said about Peter. That's what they said about Paul. That's what they said about Jesus. And if you preach the truth, they'll say it about you. And many will run because they'd rather follow tradition. And they allow the peer pressure to influence them to go with the majority instead of staying with truth. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.